Hello once again, and this is Dr. Dave, and you are listening to the KnowledgeShare with Dr. Dave podcast, hosted on grokshare.com. KnowledgeShare with Dr. Dave is also on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. You are listening to episode number 15, a conversation with John Jorgensen, introducing Open Space Agility, OSA, as an option to implement Agile into the organization and support a value-driven transformation. Open Space Agility, interview with John Jorgensen. What is Open Space Agility, OSA? Is it a cult? Is it a tool? Can I buy, sell, or borrow OSA? Is it a floor wax or a dessert topping? What do you think?
It's both.
What is this OSA thing that we speak of?
So the cool thing about Open Space Agility is it's open source. You know, it's available to the public through Creative Commons, share and share alike. And so anybody can use it anytime that it's applicable to their situation. And most commonly, you know, when a large organization wants to implement Agile or Lean or some subset of those, Open Space Agility gives you a framework to make these huge, sweeping, and profound changes, because it basically allows people to opt in and for them to work together to decide, well, what does this change mean for us, and where do we want to go with it by when?
Yeah, but when you say sweeping changes, what type of changes are you referring to?
Well, usually an organization won't have much knowledge or experience collectively with Agile. And so they might have been working in, say, a phase gate or sequenced approach, what some people call waterfall, in developing products, particularly software, but this could apply to cyber-physical products as well. And changing the way that they think of maybe their roles individually in an organization, or even changing the way that they place themselves into teams and how long they stay in those team organizations. All of these things, you know, there's such extreme change that it's human nature to fall into what's called a state of liminality. And that means like a state of nervous anxiety, really, because you're neither here nor there. You're neither where you want to be nor what you were before. And so the journey up to here that got us here collides with the journey into the future that we're trying to engineer, design, and execute.
Okay, awesome. What are the roots of OSA? Where does it come from?
So OSA comes from this thing called Prime OS. And Prime OS was developed several years ago by a person named Daniel Mezick. He's the author of a book called The Culture Game. And it basically uses open space technology, which itself was created by a person named Harrison Owen. And it brackets some sort of experiment or change with these open space events, where groups of people come together, ask each other questions, go off into smaller groups to try to find some answers or at least make some decisions or wonder together, and then close that event and start into some kind of an experiment. It might be change. It might be anything. And then have an open space again on the other side of whatever it is, 30 days, 45, 60 days, 90 days. And so from this basic framework of Prime OS, there arose the idea that we could use this to pilot an enterprise through the adoption of Agile itself. And so the most important piece of this that comes from the open space technology mentality is that people should be allowed to pursue their passion, and that by not mandating, by rather inviting, people voluntarily engage in something. And that's when they're at their best, is when people are allowed to harness their creative drives and collaborate together.
What's so special about open space technology? I know I love it, but maybe some other people would like to learn more about it. What's so special about it?
So I think what's the most special about open space technology is that everyone has a voice, and everyone also has the ability to govern how they use their time. So in an open space event, anyone can propose a topic, and they can engage in conversation about a topic. And if someone doesn't feel passionate about that specific topic at any point, or doesn't feel that they contribute or are receiving anything, they can walk away. You can at any moment decide to be a non-participant or a participant in a conversation. And I think that that's what's great.
That's fabulous. It's fabulous for people to have the option to opt in and to opt out. That's wonderful. You know, we go to a lot of events. Sometimes they close the door. You can't get in. You can't get out.
It's kind of scary, right?
Yeah, here comes liminality. Yeah,
here comes
liminality for sure. Why is Open Space Agility or OSA relevant to existing or future Agile practitioners? Why would we care?
Oh, this is a really good question. And I think that it's becoming a more and more hotly debated topic, or one of greater controversy, and that is, why does Agile fail? Why does Agile somehow, when it's being implemented somewhere, change into something it was never meant to be, and some people wind up not being satisfied with what they see? And that's really what Open Space Agility is meant to address, is that just as we say in the Agile community, it's the people who are doing the work that are best positioned to define the work, discover what the work is all about, and optimize the work and the outcomes from the work. And so in that same sense, Open Space Agility allows the people who are going to be doing the work to discuss amongst each other what's the best way to start working in an Agile way in our context. And on a regular cadence, whether it's 45 days, 60 days, or 90 days, on a regular cadence, come together again and decide, how has it worked for us so far? What are the areas that have been what we wanted Agile to be? And is it producing what we had hoped Agile would produce? And if not, how are we going to change that for the better, positively make it something that now that we've got some experience, we see an even better way that might not have even occurred to us earlier. So allowing us to inspect and adapt in the adoption or the transformation into an Agile organization, getting ever better, but always the people that are doing the work, making the decisions, or at least asking some of the questions and guiding the discussion, while also getting feedback from the leaders and allowing the leaders to do leadership storytelling, to spread the good, the bad, and the ugly, I guess, about how this journey is playing out in the direction that they were hoping to.
Give me one or two failures of Agile that you think that OSA would address and make a difference, you know, very succinctly, you know, one or two.
Sure. So I've seen Agile be imposed onto groups, teams, actually. Let's say it was scrum teams. And these teams didn't see that either being a team or developing software in sprints or refining the architecture of software in sprints was even possible. However, there wasn't any real dialogue about this topic outside of the team. OSA would bring a forum for people in that kind of a situation with those points of view to have conversations about the way that they're seeing the problem space and expose that topic to new minds with new points of view that might possibly lead to better outcomes. In other words, maybe the organization itself, the way that the teams were composed, could have changed. And Maybe the cadence at which the teams were working could have changed. Maybe the responsibilities for the overall suite of products could have been more equally distributed. So I think open space agility provides sort of pressure valve, a mechanical fuse, if you will, to the organization to let it break and reconstitute itself in new ways.
Is there a referee?
Is there a referee? That's a really good question. You know, honestly, I think the closest that you get to a referee with open space, at least, is the facilitator. And their goal is really to fade into the background to the point where nobody notices them. I think people are actually the best governors of themselves. So the referee is everyone. And it's easy to say, well, if it's everyone, then it's nobody. Not always so. There's emergent leaders, and these emergent leaders, they have the credibility to draw attention to themselves without actually overtly giving out commands and mandates and orders. And people in the organization are interested in knowing what they think. And again, they can offer that feedback in very subtle ways that don't increase people's anxiety or liminality.
Okay. So what aspects of OSA made you such a huge advocate for this approach to optimize and drive business value?
So for me, I'm really all about value creation in the enterprise. And what I was seeing is that as various survey groups and laboratories were trying to measure engagement, employee engagement, they were finding just very low levels of engagement in the corporate space. And what I could see in OSA is that it's based on invitation. That is, you know, everyone has an option to respond or not respond to engage or not engage. And by giving the self-governance or self-determined control back to the people who do the work, all of a sudden their intrinsic drives ignite and start to align. And where there was never engagement before, engagement springs up like times 10. And I think that that's really the key to creating great products and enormous flow of value from the enterprise to the market.
People say it's open source. What does that mean?
Right. Open source, you know, it tends to be widely misunderstood. You know, this is not actually software. It's ideas. It's ways, practices, and principles that are out there for anyone to use. You don't have to pay a license fee to somebody to actually run open space agility in an enterprise. And the information is available publicly. You could go onto Amazon and buy the Open Space Agility Handbook. And there's more books that are coming. And then there's also groups and the community in general. So not having to pay to use something, not having to ask permission to use something, that's what I mean by open source.
So how do I get involved in this? How can I learn more? Is it too late to get in on the ground floor?
Yes, it's not too late, and it is very easy to get involved. So there's a number of websites that you could look into, and the very first that I would recommend is going to www.openspaceagility.com, and you'll find blogs there. You'll find lists of people that are experts that have been formally trained in open space agility, and there's even buried way deep inside that website a link to a Facebook group. And the Facebook group itself, it's publicly viewable. However, if you'd like to participate in the conversation that's going on there, you can request to become a member, and we would welcome you in.
Awesome. Where does Open Space Agility go from here?
Wow, now that's a really exciting question. It's on the cusp of going to version 2.0. And I don't want to steal anybody's thunder or spoil that, so I'll be very tight-lipped. But I will say this, that the future of open space agility will be defined and enhanced by the members of the community that are practicing it already. And as a matter of integrity, Open space agility will be improved through open space, where those who practice it come together and have equal voice in a forum that they can bring their experiences and their ideas to make it something that works for a broader and broader audience as we go forward.
So why all the controversy about the controversy? What is the controversy? Really?
So, yeah. So it's interesting. And whether the controversy is real or imagined, I can't definitively tell you. But what I do see is that part of open space agility is saying, you know, let's have internal champions for agility participate in open space agility. But the agile coaches, and by that I mean the external agile coaches, perhaps their consultants, their goal is not to stretch out or perpetuate a need to have them be there to make the transformation successful, but rather to be a guiding light and to find their replacement, mentor their replacement, and periodically look away. One of the phrases that you'll often hear is, you know, when you've got pandas in captivity, you got to go away a little while if you want to have more pandas in captivity. You know, that people, when they're trying to take on something new, of course you need a coach, and coaches are great in giving you feedback and guidance and modeling for you, something that works. However, you also maybe want to have a little time practicing behind the coach's back. And so agile coaches in this open space agility meta framework are not constantly, you know, monitoring and hovering over the teams. They intentionally leave the team for a while, and they on cadence, so the team knows that the agile coach is coming back. And because the teams know that the agile coach is not always there, they become more proactive in asking the coach for help and engaging the coach's attention to get feedback from the coach. And that's really important. If, you know, you take something for granted, you probably don't use it as much as you could or should. And there's an element of human nature, I often say, familiarity breeds contempt. Those that are always around us, we might not value as much as we would if we thought that they were scarce. So this going away and returning, and then slowly weaning off from the external agile coach to the next generation internal agile coaches, is a part of open space agility that might be incurring a little bit of ire with consulting firms that are looking to have long-term embedded coaching engagements. And I think that there's even greater possibility through open space agility to gain the wisdom and insights of people external to an organization for a short span and make a transformation happen quick. You know, if you have to pull off a Band-Aid, maybe pulling it off really, really slowly isn't the best way to go. And I don't think that the jury has come to a verdict yet on this. I think only time will tell. And we do, you know, see many cases of successful OSA implementations. And we should always be questioning everything that we take as truth. All of my constructs are subject to revision and replacement, and this is one of those constructs. For now, I think open space agility's approach is probably in the best interests of the enterprise itself.
Well, that's great. Great feedback. Great conversation. We always want people to reach out to in our guest. How would they reach out to you? Give them a Twitter handle, something.
Yeah. So you can reach me through Twitter if you'd like at WaterScrumbon. And I'm also on LinkedIn. And I have a website where you can engage me as well. It's called www.agilehyperdrive.com. And of course, you'll find me in the community in the Facebook group, Open Space Agility. In fact, there's a brand new one that just sprung up. There's such a strong response to Open Space Agility in Europe, particularly Paris. also French-speaking Canada, that they've created an Open Space Agility Europe Facebook group just a few days ago. So I'll be hanging out there. You can post something to me. And gosh, if you would like to reach out to me through this podcast, I'd love to hear how this is landing with all of our listeners.
Most definitely. Well, thank you so much for your time, John.
Thank you, Dave.
I found OSA to be intriguing because of my passion for open space meetings and conferences. I can see how this approach can help an organization get started with an agile transformation. Connect with John on Twitter at WaterScrumBon. You may also learn more about OSA by visiting openspaceagility.com. Look for the Knowledge Share with Dr. Dave podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. The Knowledge Share with Dr. Dave podcast is hosted on grokshare.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Dave, reach out on Twitter at Dr. Dave Info or at Knowledge Share. This podcast is an interview produced by Dr. Dave Cornelius. Copyright 2016 Knowledge Share.
You grok share?
I grok it and Knowledge Share. Every day, every day. Until next time, pursue goodness, share, and learn.